You are listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Ricky Gibbs from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the News and Observer's Restaurants Review section, from NC Triangle Dining, a restaurant food and drink blog in Raleigh, Durham, Cary, and Chapel Hill, from the Eat Raleigh blog, a local blog whose mission is to explore culture, history, passion, and people of Raleigh through its culinary delights, and the Triangle Food blog, a hobby blog that helps locals keep up with the latest Triangle restaurant news. Before we get started, here is a quick reminder of what the NNO ratings mean. 5 stars are extraordinary, 4 stars are excellent, 3 stars are above average, 2 stars are average, and 1 star is fair. Starting from the News and Observer, Oku Sushi serves up delightful, fresh surprises that are a notch above the norm. This is published June the 3rd and written by Greg Cox. Oku Sushi is located at 233 West Street, Southwest Street to be specific, in Raleigh, and their phone number is 919-792-3777, and this restaurant has a 4-star rating. One of the almost daily fish deliveries that Oku Sushi gets from all over the world is a weekly mystery box from Japan. Part of the contents of that box are showcased in a 4-piece fish sampler available as nigiri or sashimi. Because the selection changes so frequently, you won't find this sampler on the menu. Your server will tell you about it, describing each fish in this week's offering. Take her up on the offer, and you're in for the first of many delightful surprises that Oku Sushi has to offer. But be forewarned, Oku's fish sampler will spoil you for the run-of-the-mill offerings of other Japanese restaurants. A recent nigiri sampler at Oku featured striped jack shima aji, opal eye, grunt, and sea robin. All were irreproachably fresh tasting and each garnished with a different topping, from a tiny nasturtium leaf on the opal eye, a mild flavored, firm textured fish which was new to me, to chopped chives and a dab of sturgeon caviar on the sea robin. Given the unusual fish selection and attention to detail in presentation, you may also be surprised to learn that Oku is a chain, albeit a small one. The original is in Charleston, South Carolina, with other locations in Atlanta, Charlotte, and Washington, D.C. Another location is slated to open soon in Nashville. Oku is owned by Indigo Road Hospitality Group, which also owns Oak Steakhouse next door. Both are on the ground floor of the Dillon. Like its beefy sibling, Oku aims for the premium tier in its category. The Raleigh location hits the target on all counts. Service is as well-trained as it is welcoming. Don't be surprised if you express a fondness for, say, uni, and a few minutes later she brings you a complimentary sample nestled under a cucumber cup. The dining room decor does its part, too, in creating a suitably upscale mood. Bare tree branches painted ivory, mounted on slate gray walls, large barrel shade pendant lamps, and everywhere you look, warm wood tones, pine plank floors, honeyed oak ceilings, polished tabletops all conspire to set a mood that's at once dramatic and casually inviting. If you started off with that fish sampler, you'll know you're in good hands if you decide to go all in on the omakase, $100 per person, plus another $45 for wine and sake pairings. Those would be the hands of executive chef Richard Fong and his crew. Fong's 30-year career has taken him from his native Hong Kong to New York to the Triangle, where he was sushi chef at the excellent but now shuttered An Asian Cuisine in Cary. You don't have to shell out serious coin on the omakase to enjoy the benefits of Fong's experience. Chef's Choice nigiri and sashimi samplers are available in generous $35 and $50 versions. Or order a la carte, choosing from some 24 options, including local rarities such as live scallop when available and jellyfish. Even if you consider yourself a sushi purist, you may find yourself tempted by the likes of uzusuki, salmon sashimi, and ponzu with an earthy whisper of truffle garnished with wasabi stem and black volcanic salt, or lobster tamaki, a trio of elegantly presented hand rolls, spilling nuggets of lobster and asparagus onto a rustic earthenware platter. Speaking as one purist to another, I say don't give in to the temptation. And don't turn your nose up at the selection labeled Oku Nigiri, where you'll find creations such as Hamachi Tsunazura, Yellowtail Belly, and Jalapeno Shiso Pesto, and the over-the-top O-Toro, fatty bluefin tuna, black truffle, sturgeon caviar, and fresh wasabi. Or haku sushi, where contemporary riffs on traditional Osaka-style sushi pressed in a wooden box mold yielding a squared-off sushi include the likes of samurai, layers of torched tuna, avocado, and sushi rice topped with kimchi aioli. House specialty rolls are a decided notch above the norm, too, delivering a generous fish-to-rice ratio and a surprise at every turn. The Black Widow Roll, for one, wraps soft shell crab, snow crab, and avocado in a shroud of squid ink rice as black as its name. Even the familiar rainbow roll is refreshingly different, with seasonally changing fish and a distinctive presentation. Most of Fong's 30 years of restaurant experience were spent with a sushi knife in his hand, so it may come as a surprise to learn that the chef also knows his way around a kitchen. An entire section of the menu is devoted to rabatayaki, grilled over the intense heat of white oak coals in a Japanese rabata grill. Options range from Japanese seven-spice chicken yakitori to a lavish surf and turf of wagyu steak and cold water lobster. I had my eye on the live scallop with truffle butter, but our server sold me on the salmon with hydro lettuce and a wasabi remoulade. I have no regrets. Fried oysters are exemplary, and you'd never know that the tempura-like batter is gluten-free. Blistered shiseido peppers dressed in a sheer, subtly sweet soy sauce punctuated with garlic and crushed chili make a fine palate-priming starter. Oku's chicken teriyaki will erase all those memories of cloying renditions you've had elsewhere. And if you thought springtime in the South was too hot for a Japanese noodle dish, then Oku's udon, with lobster, scallop, asparagus, and shiitakes all entangled in a sheer glaze of umami-rich uni sauce, will set you straight. Thinking of skipping dessert? Think again. The options here go far beyond the standard ice cream mochi to include the likes of Oku s'mores to a chocolate bento box. I call dibs on the sata andagi, Okinawan-style donut holes with ginger sugar and miso caramel. At the end of the meal, you'll find one more pleasant surprise tucked in with the check, a card describing Oku's weekly specials. Bottles of wine and sake are half price every Sunday night, and sushi rolls are half price Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays from 5 to 7 p.m., New Thought BOGO rolls and first-rate sushi were mutually exclusive terms. Oku Sushi is located at 233 Southwest Street in Raleigh, and their phone number is 919-792-3777. Next, a review. Asali Desserts and Cafe, published June 30th on the Eat Raleigh blog. The Eat Raleigh blog does not list an author for their articles. Asali Desserts and Cafe is located at 107 Edinburgh South Drive, Suite 106A in Kerry, and their phone number is 919-362-7882. When I first started to explore the Triangle in college, Kerry's McGregor's Village captured my interest. Tucked away off Highway 64, the shopping center was once a hive of activity, with well-established eateries like Wasabi and Jimmy V's Steakhouse paired with entertainment hubs like Six Strings Cafe. McGregor's Village became a destination. But the years since haven't been particularly kind to the shopping center. One of its centerpieces, Bistro 64, sat vacant for years. The facade of the 30-year-old shopping center started to show its age. Vacant storefronts were plentiful, but new ownership took over in 2018, giving the plaza a facelift and bringing in new tenants, one being Asali Cafe and Desserts. Visibly tired, baker and owner Hassadi Assad sat down across from me with, as if it was the first time she had to get off her feet for weeks. Although she was happy that I accepted the invitation to come and visit Asali, the restaurant had been slammed since they soft opened, allowing her no rest. The catalyst for the interest in Asali is their collection of unique treats. None has as much fanfare as the kinafa. From hunky dudes dancing and serving kinafa from a food truck, to videos of luscious cheese pulls, kinafa has become one of those dishes that has lit up social media. Typically served from big pans and cooked over an open fire, Hanadi painstakingly engineered a way to serve a personal-sized kinafa. From the cooking method to the right kind of cheese, Hanadi took everything into account to ensure she got the kinafa experience just right. And she succeeded with a dessert that has layers of texture, some sweetness, and gooey cheese, which may be awkward for some to grasp, but it works. Drinks are as much a feature on Asali's menu as the desserts. While I was pleasantly surprised that the cafe was offering counterculture for drip coffee or espresso drinks, my eye was on its more exotic options. As Hanadi went over the large selection of drink offerings, the drink sat lab glared out from the menu as something that was a complete mystery to me. According to Hanadi, the milk-based drink is a popular winter drink around the Middle East. Sipping past the lovely top layer of shredded coconut and pistachios, the drink had me think of a Mexican horchata. Thick and warm, I can see how it's popular in the winter, but even with the heat of summer, it was very enjoyable. Excitingly, Hanadi kept mentioning her blooming tea options due to its beauty and taste. Unconvinced, we placed the unassuming bulb into the pot of water and waited for a few minutes, as if watching National Geographic. The bulb delicately started to unravel itself, until it sprung open to a fully bloomed flower inside of its pot. The tea itself was a refreshing mix of lemon and ginger. While I was more familiar with Turkish coffee, granted most of those experiences were with the old Turkish Delights on Glenwood, Asali made the drink their own. Unexpectedly, notes of anise cut through the strong coffee from first sip. It makes for an interesting flavor profile that kept me coming back to the cup for more. Served as a palate cleanser, the cup of water with a hint of rose helped mellow my taste buds. Hanadi's baking talents aren't just reserved for sweet things. Savory pies and dips like tabbouleh expand Asali's menu beyond just the end of a meal. My buddy Ryan glowed about the tabbouleh's freshness. I, however, focused most of my attention on the flavorful za'atar pie. Though Asali has a catalog of unique treats, the cafe does not neglect Middle Eastern staples like baklava and macaroons. Asali showed off a side of Middle Eastern delights that go well beyond baklava. But it does more than that. It shows off a side of the hopeful new look McGregor's Village has, in that it can return the plaza to its former glory. Asali's is located at 107 Edinburgh South Drive, Suite 106A in Kerry, and their phone number is 919-362-7882. First Take. Everest Nepali Kitchen in Kerry delivers mountainous flavor. This was published on June 10th on the NC Triangle Dining blog and was written by Ron Nguyen. Everest Nepali Kitchen is located at 212 Grand Heights Drive in Kerry, and their phone number is 919-378-9390. Over the years of living in the Triangle, I've learned that if you really want good, down-home ethnic eats, you'll find a lot of it in Kerry and Morrisville. From Chinese to Indian, Mexican, and more, there's always seeming to be a plethora of good, inexpensive, family-run eateries in these two cities. And one of the more common categories of cuisine you'll find in Kerry is Nepalese. Given its location on the planet, the mix of Indian, Nepali, and Indo-Chinese fares makes Nepalese food a favorite in my book. I decided to check out a newer Nepalese spot recently, Everest Nepali Kitchen out in Kerry, and here's what you can expect. Inside Everest Nepali Kitchen, you'll find a brightly colored dining room in yellows and maroons. Warm, casual, and homey space, it's definitely lowbrow when it comes to decor. Grab one of the booths for maximum space and comfort. The menu at Everest Nepali Kitchen is similar to many of the other Nepalese options you'll find in the area, covering momos, samosas, chili chicken, tikka masala, tandoor meats, and more. But Everest Nepali Kitchen has some interesting items that I haven't seen elsewhere. Tandoori wings, chips chili, Kashmiri naan, pineapple and cherries, along with chili momos. Cool! Over the course of my visits, I've had a chance to dive into a bit of the menu and get a taste for what Everest Nepali Kitchen can do. For starters, consider the onions bhaji. Strips of tender onion, deep fried, similar to an onion ring. Served with some chutney sauce, the onion bhaji at Everest Nepali Kitchen is tasty and crunchy, but my plate was a bit overfried. Another great option for an appetizer is their tandoori wings. A small order of 6 plump wings shows up bathed in a yellow marinade and showing off some charred bits. The wings are full of garlic and ginger flavor on top of super tender, fall-off-the-bone chicken that tandoor meats are known for. A thumbs up here from me. Tandoori wings can be hard to find on many menus in the area. Everest Nepali Kitchen will also customize the spiciness/heat level of your food on a scale of 1 to 10. I went with the middle 5 for my visits, which was perfect. For the main entrees, I've gone with the chicken korma twice. A large, silver-plated bowl of simmered chicken in a yogurt tomato-based sauce loaded with raisins and more. Kamora is a superb, flavorful dish and seems to be nearly as popular as chicken tikka masala of late. I found the entree sauces at Everest Nepali Kitchen to be a bit deeper and stronger than my usual Nepalese favorite, Himalayan Range Nepali. Also, the portion sizes at Everest Nepali Kitchen are large. From the entree itself to the biryani rice served on the side, you get a lot of food for the money here. And one of my bigger barometers for Nepalese food is the breads. Everest Nepali Kitchen offers a large assortment of naan, kulcha, puri, and more. Their garlic naan was decent, but a bit bready and doughy. A good and decent effort, but less than top-notch. I can say for sure that Everest Nepali Kitchen is doing a great job with its Nepali menu. There's plenty of great menu choices with solid flavor, large portion sizes, and good price. But I'd still have to put Everest Nepali Kitchen a notch below Himalayan Range Nepali right now. For the sauce-based dishes, I might give Everest Nepali Kitchen an edge, but in other areas of the menu, not so much. In the end, it's still an excellent choice for Nepali cuisine. And given the competition, it really has to be. Can't wait to try another Nepali restaurant to compare, Kathmandu Kitchen, Himalayan Nepali. But kudos to Everest Nepali Kitchen for offering a great dining option to those looking for Indian and Chinese flavors in their eats.